So, Rima, what's your dream?
My dream, I don't know. I'm still working on it. No, I think my dream is to get out of here, like, see the world, I think. I want to be able to come back. My dream is to actually to go and get educated and come back and help my community.
Well, this is Ranisha speaking. My dream is, I think I agree with Rima. I really don't have any, like, set in stone specific goals. I know I want to go into radio broadcasting, but I would like to travel the world and educate myself because I feel like the world has so much more to offer us outside of Hunters Point. And I feel like a lot of people don't recognize that. So if we're able to go out and experience, you know, everybody's not able to take that adventure. So if we're able to go out and experience that and educate ourselves, I feel like it's not only right for us to come back and, you know, help our community.
What does the 2007 version by Common of I Have a Dream mean to you guys compared to, I don't know, how aware of Martin Luther King you are? How does that feel to you guys?
Well, I mean, I feel like he hit the nail on the head. I mean, I actually like the song. I feel like it, well, I really like the speech itself too, but I feel like he hit the nail on the head. He hit a lot of key points.
Like Ranisha said, he is on point with his knowledge or whatever, but I feel that he's bringing it back because a lot of people really don't know about the Martin Luther King speech, or it was too long and boring. So he's spicing it up so we could understand. Yeah, kids these days, they don't learn nothing without a little kick in it. So he's putting that extra kick in it.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's on a music video.
But also Martin Luther King is more than just the I Have a Dream speech. I mean, it was a whole movement.
Yeah, the civil rights movement.
And you were saying one time when Paul was here about getting your march on.
Because, I mean, well, me, I've always been a person that has been interested in African-American history. Like, it just always fascinated me. I attended a majority Caucasian school all since kindergarten all the way through my 10th grade year. So it was kind of like I was always the oddball out, even though I had a lot of friends. So it was kind of like it was always important for me to get in touch with my roots. And I want to get my march on now because I feel like a lot of young people our days, they don't have that sense of who we are anymore. Like, they don't appreciate being African Americans. And that's something that really, like, I'm really passionate about, and it really hurts me a lot to see that. Because I go to a school and there are a lot of mixed kids, and I'm in charge of my school, BSU. And I can't believe, like, it's a hassle for me to get kids to try to join the BSU. Like, a lot of people, they're not even interested in their history, which is kind of sad to me, knowing how far we've come as African American people. And just like the culture itself is just beautiful. Why wouldn't you want to be African American? Why wouldn't you want to be proud if you are? There's so many. I feel like everybody else is feeding off of our culture, except for the people who are actually African American. Like, there are people in the BSU who are Latino and Asian who come faithfully, but I can't even get the kids who are actually black to come.
But then that's coalition building, and that's what Martin was doing. So when you say being proud as an African-American or a black, I mean, is it proud? Last time we were talking, you were talking about teenage pregnancy. Is it proud the shootings? Is it proud the brothers mistreating? Is it proud that we don't respect each other? How do we get our pride? How do you guys get your, because you're the next generation. How do you get your pride?
I mean, well, how I get my pride is I don't really focus on the negative aspects of the African-American culture. I focus on all of the struggles we've come through. We had a show last time talking about the different struggles, how they insured the slaves and how it's working in, you know, hauling bricks and things like that. To me, that's, and then I went on an African-American tour, actually, where we had to tour HBCUs, and we visited like 10 civil rights museums, and it was one where they talked about, we visited a slave haven, and they talked about how the slaves couldn't read and write, but they actually communicated with each other through quilts. And you look at these quilts, and to me, it just looked like a bunch of colors and a nice pattern. And I was really fascinated by the pattern. But actually, they're like, the different quilts mean something. Like, red meant to, like, stop, don't go this place. And, like, blue meant cross the water and things like that. And that was fascinating to me.
Well, I was always interested in my culture because you never know where you're going unless you know where you come from. So I had, last year, I went on a two-week trip called Soldier into the Past, where we went on all the hot spots where Martin Luther King was, and we learned about the stuff you wouldn't really hear in the textbooks, like
in classrooms.
Yeah, we went under the under the tech. So I learned about a lot of people that I really didn't know about. I didn't know that children was, like, they started, like, at Kelly Ingram Park with the children and the water hoses and the dogs. Yeah. That really started the civil rights movement. It got people interested, like, involved. White people were seeing how the police were being mean to children, so they came from all over the world and to help. I didn't know that, because when I went there, I was like, I know about this. I know Martin Luther King. Yeah, I know Rosa Parks, and I know this. And I was like, man, when I came home, I'm like, Emi, you didn't know nothing.
That's like me. I swear, I read up on different people, and I heard about my grandma's actually from Louisiana, and my grandfather is from Alabama. So I've visited the museums before, but to actually go and then actually, like, really be able to sit down and, like, really relate to it and hear about, like, even the different people. Like, we visit one museum and they had, like, just the different faces of the kids. And you could just see, like, the passion in the child's eyes, like, how serious they were about this. And that kind of touched me. And then learning about how slaves' hands were cut off because they couldn't because they wanted to read and write and they weren't allowed to. So they would cut their hands off. And here we are with opportunity to read and write, and I don't want to wake up in the morning to go to school. So it kind of made me kind of sit back and look at my life and kind of appreciate everything that I have going for myself.
I keep going back to this thing where, you know, I see y'all using MySpace and on your cell phones, and you guys are consumers of this stuff, but I really feel like we all need to educate ourselves and own the technology and learn it, understand it, and embrace it, and then become the people who are creating it or have our own thing, because I still feel like there's a billion-dollar company out there waiting to do something with hip-hop and technology. It hasn't been done yet. MTV can't figure it out, and nobody's figured it out yet. But there's, you know, this hip-hop generation, you know, it crosses all cultural boundaries, you know, black, Asian, white. It's international. And I really feel like, you know, we need to just get ourselves educated and make sure that we understand the technology so no one can take advantage of us. This whole thing with MLK this month, I really feel like a lot of folks feel like what he did was good and he did his part and his work is done and we've arrived. We have not. And I really feel like, you know, we still need to keep fighting, and, you know, that whole thing of, you know, we will overcome. We gotta keep fighting because we've got some whole new set of problems.
I really didn't know that about how much the Little Rock Nine had
input in it.
Yeah, and how they wanted to go to school and they were turned around and they couldn't go. And I actually got a chance to talk to one of them, Minnie Jean. And I was talking to her, and she was letting me know. She was telling me, like, you guys got it made. They wouldn't even allow. We used to get hand-me-downs. And for you guys to get free education, and you guys don't take advantage of it, something's wrong. If you have, this is your opportunity to go to school and get it for free, and you're not trying, and your people died. People lost their lives for us to be in school. And it's like, it's a lost cause if you're not going to go. It's like, what did they do that for? They shouldn't even need it if you're not going to go to school.
But I think the key issue with that is a lot of people don't know. Just like you said, we had the opportunity to actually go on the tour and actually kind of, I've always, you know, appreciated my education, but it was actually more valuable for me to actually see, like,
what's going on.
Yeah. Rather than, like, just reading a book at school. They just tell you about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. That's all you hear about. But, like, to actually just be there to be able to experience and see, like, I'm telling you.
I think that with the Martin Luther King and the thing about him, he was a regular person. And he just knew how to keep things organized. Like, he wasn't, you know, nowadays kids jump off the mouth without even knowing if they're doing right or wrong. Like, they should be organized. Yeah.
Or just be focused. He was a person who saw he wanted something to happen and he got it done. And my thing is, if I feel like if you can't go and visit the South like we did, is read. Read. You need to read. Like, what's the old saying? White people, what they don't want black people to know, they put it in books because they say African Americans don't read. I'm telling you, read. You'll find so much more.
And, like, with the comparison of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Malcolm X was nonviolence, I mean, by any means necessary. And Martin Luther King was nonviolence, nonviolence. You see how much Martin Luther King got done? If you're patient and wait, you'll get it.
Well, this is Ranisha speaking. I just want to say that I just feel like everybody needs to just wake up. Wake up. Just wake up. Pick up a book.